Kids Playground.
Hooray! This is the Darren Harris Podcast. Here's your host, Darren Harris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. I'm Darren Harris, and this is my podcast, the Darren Harris Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. Before I get started today, there is something that I would like to mention. Today is the start of my third season. So officially, I've been doing this for a whole of 2 years, and today is the start of my third year. This is also my 100th episode. So I've been doing this podcast for 100 episodes. And I gotta say, I didn't think I could do one episode. I really didn't think I could do one solid episode, you know, much less 100. When I started, I was a little all over the place, so I had to write segments, and I had to, you know, kind of keep myself on task in a bunch of different ways. Like, I had too many segments. But then after a while, it got to the point where what I wanted to talk about started to stretch out a little bit. I didn't have to have so many like hokey finoki type sessions. I didn't have to have, you know, a segment for this and a different segment for that, and then I'll be back after this. And I didn't have to do that because what I wanted to talk about really started to resonate with me. So I began to speak freely from my heart as opposed to trying to make something that was fabricated. So today, I want to say thank you to everybody who has joined me on my podcast, and I want to say thank you to the platform that I have my podcast on, which is the Podcast Playground. I really, really want to thank you guys, and that's the platform that hosts my podcast. But I'm on every podcast platform, thanks to them, every single one. So you can find me on Apple, you can find me anywhere, Google, it doesn't matter. You can find the Darren Harris Podcast anywhere. And I have Gentry Thomas and my producer Jay Yandel to thank for that. I really do thank you guys. And most importantly, the people listening to the podcast. I want to thank y'all, man, because without you, I would be talking to myself. And for a while, I thought I was really talking to myself. Because in the beginning, I would have a podcast, and they would come back, oh, man, you had 7 listeners today. That was awesome. The 7 listeners to me was awesome. I really appreciated the 7, and I still appreciate those 7 listeners, even if they don't listen anymore. You know, even if the people who don't listen to my podcast anymore, or they stop by and they figured that it wasn't, you know, their cup of tea, I thank you anyway. You know, thank you so much anyway for giving me an opportunity to talk to you. I'm also this guy. If you want, I mean, you could jump on my Instagram and you can hit my DMs. And if there's something that you want to talk about, if there's something that you feel close to, if there's something that bothers you that you want to hear about, shoot me a DM, man. I will sit down and I'll create a podcast if you're really serious about it. Maybe you can even sit and jump on the podcast with me. I'm always down to have people on my podcast. I'm always down to have people come and sit, you know, and Zoom call with me, or if you're in town locally, you can sit in the studio with me and talk about whatever issues or whatever ails you. I talk about anything. I talk about things that are specifically like close to me. Like, I suffer from what's called MDD, which is major depressive disorder. I've been suffering from that for quite a long time, and I also suffer from extreme anxiety. And I sit in this room right here, and this is one of my outlets to the world, because I mean, I do go out, but I don't really get down like that, or not anymore, but I'm working my way back to that, which feels good. So that's one of the things I do talk about in my podcast. And that's one thing that I am conscious of when I do deliver my podcast to the people that are listening, is how is your state? How is your mental state? How is your mental state? And that's the one thing, that's one of the things that I'm really concerned about, is how is your mental state? And are you okay? Because it's a lot of times I wrestle with things, and I know, man, if I have anxiety, the rest of the world, I mean, the world is not a good place right now. It just isn't a good place right now. And I know there's a lot of people out there suffering and going through a lot of things. And I just want to know that those people out there are all right. I really want to know that. That really is important to me. So, again, I want to thank everybody for joining me for my podcast and your continued support. And I promise I'll try and give you better content. The more I do this, I'll try to give you better, more content. I am this guy. I am an inflammatory motherfucker. Okay, I am inflammatory. I will talk about some things that may come across as uncomfortable. Some people may feel very uncomfortable about the things that I talk about, but make no mistake about it, I'm uncomfortable about it too, and that's one of the reasons that I talk about it, because I don't want to be uncomfortable about it, and I don't want anybody else to be uncomfortable about it. I want people to have dialogue about it. I want people to talk about it. I want people to say, I was listening to this podcast and this guy was talking about something, that's what I want. But, that remains to be seen, So if anybody wants to listen, any further, man, on my Instagram pages or anything, I'm actually live on my Instagram right now as I'm doing my podcast. But if anybody on my Instagram wants to join, my name is Darren Harris. It's right at the top, and it's the Darren Harris Podcast. You can come check me out anytime you want. I'm always podcasting. I podcast once a week. And like I said, this is my 100th episode, and man, like I said, I want to thank everybody. So what am I talking about today? Today's podcast is something that, my producer and I, he's my best friend, my producer and I, we talk about a lot. And believe it or not, I mean, we enjoy talking about this because it just opens up the lane so much more. It just opens up so much more information, so much more. I mean, and both of us are very inquisitive, and we ask a lot of questions, and we keep each other on our toes. My best friend is, 6 foot, blonde, blue eyes. That's just who he is. And he produces my show, and he's the reason I actually do this podcast. He's the one who puts me up to it, because I didn't think I could do it. And him and my wife, those are the people that put me up to it. But him and I, we were having a conversation the other day about white fragility and what is white fragility? What is that? I didn't hear the phrase until maybe a couple of months ago, and I was kind of curious about it. So white fragility refers to a concept introduced by sociologist Robin DiAngelo. It describes the defensive reaction or discomfort that some white individuals may exhibit or feel when confronted with discussions about racism or their own racial privilege. The term suggests that these defensive responses can hinder productive conversations about race and perpetuate systemic inequities. And I want to say it is very, very important. It's very essential that when we discuss things like that, that we discuss things with empathy and come from a place of love, and we are going to receive a lot of diverse perspectives and things of that. And we have to understand that this is pretty much how we live. But I have, however, experienced some white fragility with some of my friends. Now, my producer and I, we talk about it a lot, and he does not really exhibit any white fragility. He's able to sit down and have, long lasting conversations. We talk about this shit for hours. We talk about race relations and, the things that could be good for it and things that are bad for it and how we can get by certain obstacles that we're facing today. We talk about this kind of shit all the time. We talk about it pretty much every day. We talk about some sort of subject on race every day, and it is always positive. Sometimes it gets heated, but it never gets to the point where he feels like I'm attacking him or he feels guilty. It's never like that. It comes from us sitting down discussing what society is like today. But I do have friends that do exhibit some sort of this white fragility. And I'm not going to say any names, but I do have friends that do feel some sort of close personal like attack when we talk about anything regarding race. And I try and express to him, listen, you don't have to feel that way. You don't have to feel like, nobody's attacking you. Nobody said your name particularly to when we started talking about the subject. Nobody said your name. So, you know, I wanted to, one of the reasons, and this is one of the reasons I'm actually doing this podcast today, because I actually want him to listen to it, because I want him to internalize and understand and feel where I'm coming from when we talk about certain things, because it, you know, it'll happen when we start talking about, a lot of times when we talk about politics, it happens. You know, we talk about religion and it happens. We'll, you know, inadvertently, one of us will slip into something about race and somebody will rebut, and then we'll have this conversation about race. But always, I mean, almost always it ends, you know, where he's either upset or he feels like he's being attacked. And I'm just trying to say, hey, listen, nobody's attacking you. I'm just stating the facts, okay? That's one thing I will never do is lie. One thing I will always do is just state the truth, you know? And sometimes, like I said, and I tell them all the time, sometimes the truth hurts the worst. But it's not for you to be heard about, because we're just having a discussion about why certain things are the way that they are. So I have friends that I experienced this with and friends that I don't experience this with. And they are all great friends to me. But one of the things I have friends from all backgrounds. And one of the things that makes us great friends is, one, our ability to relate to each other. Okay, our ability to relate to each other, and not only relate to each other, it's our willingness to learn about each other, our willingness to have tough conversations with each other about race. And this is any race, not just black and white. I have Indian friends. I have all kinds of friends from everywhere. We have conversations about race and culture all the time. And it is a good thing. It turns out to be a very good thing. It doesn't have to turn out to be this heated discussion all the time about the terrible things that have happened, even though terrible things have happened. You know, this is a way for us to get by it and for us to understand that why this happened for us to say, you know, we're going to take the helm and not let this happen anymore. We're going to be the example. It's our ability to understand each other's perspectives in life. You know what I'm saying? It's also what this group of friends does. This is what they do. And I like to consider myself this also. One, they ask questions. They always ask questions. And I think it's great that they ask questions, because we have questions too. Black people have questions about white people. White people have questions about black people that we just really don't want to, you know, we don't want to, you know, sometimes, and it's a genuine question. It's sincere. It is a sincere question. And like one time my man asked me, he said, yo, I don't want to be racist, but do black people put hot sauce on everything? Yes. Yes, absolutely. God damn it. We put hot sauce on damn near everything. And that's just a cultural thing. That's one thing that we do. But then in turn, I had a question also. And my question was, who told y'all to put raisins and pecans in potato salad? That was a genuine question. And we sat there and we laughed for a half hour about that shit. We laughed for 30 minutes about that shit, because it was something that was genuine, and it was a genuine curiosity. It didn't come from a place of hatred. It didn't come from a place of being stereotypical. It just came from of something that both of us observed about each other's culture. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. We observed this about each other's culture. We were just like, look, man, we just kind of like broke it down. Look, bro, I just got a question I want to ask you. And I completely got it. And we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's where we need to be. That's where our country needs to be. We don't need to be fighting over Democrats and Republicans. You know what I mean? Because I look at it like this. The Democrats and the Republicans, the Reds and the Blues, that's just the Crips and the motherfucking Bloods, man. That's all it is. And we need to get away from that. You know, our strength lies in our unity. It also lies in our diversity. We all learn things from each other, man. Nobody is perfect. Not one race on this face of this earth is perfect. We all learn from each other. You know what I'm saying? I have some great friends. I have a story about a buddy of mine named Nick. Now, I didn't realize. Now, Nick is my buddy Nick. He's an actor. He's a retired actor, and he's been on some great things. He's, you know, he was on The Guiding Light for a long time. That just impresses the shit out of me. So, but he's a great guy, man. His name is Nick, and I was this is when I was living in New York, and we we were meeting for lunch. I was meeting him for lunch, and I had got to the store. And this was down in, like, the Bowery. So I'm meeting, which is, it's a pretty decent neighborhood. There's good restaurants around, really nice delis. So I get down there, and I get there just before he got there. So I'm in line, and I'm getting ready to order my sandwich, and I see him at the back of the line. And I say to him, I say, hey, man, I'm going to go sit over here by this thing. He said, all right, I'm going to get my sandwich. So I sat down and I waited for him to get his sandwich. So we opened up our sandwiches, and my sandwich, you know, it was just a sandwich. He opened his sandwich, and that shit was like, oh, like God made it. You know, it was, you know, I was like, you know, and I was just going to eat my sandwich. And he looked over at me. He said, what did you order? I said, I ordered the Italian hero. He said, well, I ordered the same thing. And I said, I didn't really think anything about it. But he got angry. He got really angry. He got really angry, and he grabbed me. He said, don't eat that. And he got up, and he grabbed my sandwich, and he walked over to the counter, and he put it on the counter. He said, make my friend's sandwich the way you made my sandwich. And I didn't understand at first, and not until he sat down. And the reason why is because that's his deli. He knows. So he knew the people in there. And he understood the dynamic of what was happening, even though I didn't understand at that time. And he sat down with me, and he told me, and he said, hey, man, I just want to let you know that you don't have to take that behavior from anybody. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he explained to me what was going on. This guy just made my sandwich because of who I was and the neighborhood that I was in. And you know, I didn't really think anything about it. You know, I was hungry. I would have ate it anyway. But it was a very classy thing. It was a very, very classy thing for him to do to show me that hey, man, not everybody's like that. Not everybody is like that, okay? And it made me feel good. Like, I'll say again, my producer, the guy who produces my show, he is my best friend. And all podcasts and bullshit aside, if you talk to me sideways out of your mouth, this guy is going to beat your ass. I'm not playing. And then he's going to sit down and finish his cocktail because that's who he is. That's who he's always been. You know what I'm saying? I'm 54 years old on July 3rd. Me and this guy have been friends since we were 16 and 17, 17 and 18. He's been with me through every phase of my life. All the hard things I've ever gone through in my life, this man has been right there by my side. And that is a bond that would have never existed if we did not sit down and try our best to learn about each other. And now, you know, if this motherfucker was going to rob a bank, I'm driving the car. You know what I'm saying? You know, if he kills somebody, I'm Al Callens. We driving to the border, my man. You know what I'm saying? Because that's my dog, man. You know what I mean? Because he has shown me time and time again that not only does he not feel that fragility, but he is an advocate for unity amongst our races and for everyone else involved. He is an advocate for that and always has been. This is one of the few people that I know that could move around the hood just as comfortable as he can move around any place else. And the reason why is because he is accepting of our culture. He is accepting of who we are as people and vice versa. We are accepting of who he is as people. We are accepting. And that's the thing we all have to get to. But so many of us, we wear these hats and try to put people in office that we think will align with these ideologies. I'm not talking right or left or, you know, I'm not talking any specific group because it's both groups. Okay. At the end of the day, we are all being played. We're all being played by what's being played out on, you know, politically here in our country. Because, I mean, while I watch, you know, I watch CNN and I watch some Fox News and I watch news outlets and I see all this arguing and all this angst. But right here where I live, man, the ladies next door, they got a nice old Southern drawl, but they're the sweetest old ladies you ever want to meet in your life. You know what I'm saying? I live in a town. When I was a kid, this is where my grandmother, I'm where my grandmother was. My grandmother was a hardworking lady. She cleaned a house for a living for a lady. And that house where I'm at right now, is really literally directly across the street. Now, the house itself isn't there. The garage portion is there. But I remember that house because my grandmother cleaned that house every to a Wednesday and every Friday or Saturday or something like that. But the reason I really remember it is because the lady who owned the house, the old white lady who owned the house, she was fragile, but she was the nicest thing in the world to us. She treated us like we were her kids. She always went to bat for my grandmother, even though my grandmother cleaned her house, you know, and I asked my grandmother later, you know, because, you know, after a while I was on some militant shit. Yo, you shouldn't be cleaning the house for the white man and all of that bullshit. But my grandmother said that she volunteered to do it because the lady that was this. And I was like, that is the most amazing thing, because sometimes we look at things and we don't understand the dynamic. We don't understand the dynamic. We just don't understand. And we take it from there and we launch our own opinions about what's happening, and we form our own biases. And that's wrong. And we do that without asking anything. We do that without confronting anything. We do that without saying, hey, you know, I got a question. We have to start asking questions. We got to start asking questions. And that's as simple as that. So I'm going to take a quick, fast break. Oh, my sister just joined my, hey, sissy, how you doing? I love you so much. I really do. I was just about to go to break, but I was just to kind of recap before I do go to break, I'm talking about white fragility. And I'm going to go to break. And when I come back, I'm going to go through some of the examples of what white fragility are and why it hurts America, and what maybe we ourselves can do about, you know, not necessarily making people feel comfortable, but making it okay for people to say, you know, say what they want to say, you know, and that, you know, as long as it comes from, like I said, you know, a genuine place of curiosity and not from a place of hate. Because that's the problem. We need to get rid of the hate and get back to the curiosity. Because when we get curious, we learn things. When we hate things, we don't. I'm Darren Harris. I'll be right back.
Go on then. Just go. Go north. Go south. Go here.
Go there.
Go uptown. Go downtown. This is not downtown. Go back to basics. Go fish. Then... go fish! Go down memory lane. Just make sure you share the lane. Go dance like no one's watching. Go where you're absolutely sure that no one's watching. Go say I do. Then go out there and do it. Go Bears! Go Wolves! That's a wolf. Go, 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 go! And at the end of the day, when your tank is running low,
go to sleep.
Because tomorrow, we go on again.
Now, back to the Darren Harris Podcast.
Hey, folks, what's up? Welcome back. I had to go take a couple minutes, get myself a beverage, and I'm back. I'm talking about white fragility today and why it's bad for America and, you know, what we can do to bridge the gap between us a little bit better anyway. So when I left, I was about to give some examples of what white fragility is. Now, some people may not think they have this, and I can certainly see where it might be a little, I don't know. But if you're unclear as to what it feels like or what it looks like, these are some examples of what white fragility is. Number one is pretty much, it's one of the biggest. One is defensive reactions when confronted with discussions about systemic racism. People, I got a friend, I got a friend that almost every single one of these, almost every single one of these, every single example I'm about to give, I have a friend that exhibits almost every single one. But I love him to death. He's my brother, as a matter of fact. But one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I want him to understand. I want him to understand, and I want him to get it. I want him to not be afraid to address and talk about these things. Number two is dismissing or downplaying the impact of racial disparities. That is number two. So that's when, you know, somebody says something like, oh, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, or they try and compete with you. Oh, well, you don't have it that we have it just like you. That's one of the symptoms. Number three, resistance to acknowledge one's racial privilege. Now, if somebody's saying, I get that, you know, like back to the same thing I just said, people will say, I go through the same things that you do. You know, I got to pay my bills just like I got the same bills. My rent is the same thing. I struggle just like you do. But it's not always true. And a lot of times it's not true at all because our experiences here are different. You know, and it needs to be acknowledged that our experiences are different. And that's it. And it's okay that our experiences are different. But what's not okay is the fact that people try to dismiss that there is a difference. Okay? Number four is feeling personally attacked when discussing race-related issues. And I've said this before. I just was talking about this a minute ago, where people feel personally attacked when you're talking about race. And you shouldn't feel attacked. I mean, if you had nothing to do with it, I don't understand why you would feel attacked. Now, I mean, yeah, I mean, if, you know, there could be some things that could be embarrassing, but if you internalize those things, of course you're going to feel that way. But you don't, if you didn't do that or had anything to do with it, or you stand up and oppose it, then there's no way. You should be angry. You should be angry not at me for asking the questions or engaging in the conversation. Your belly should be full on some, how can you get rid of this? How can you stop this behavior? But a lot of people don't. They feel as if they're being attacked, and they get defensive. And number five is defensiveness in response to diversity and inclusion initiatives. And here in the state that I live in, unfortunately, that's our reality here. The University of Florida, I live 45 minutes from there. I live 45 minutes from the University of Florida. And the other day, the president of the university, he got rid of all the diversity, inclusion, the DEI initiatives. He got rid of all of them and then was praised by the governor. And that's not right. That's not right. I mean, I don't think it is, because I know that there is a problem in this country. Number six, which this also happens, denying the existence of institutional racism. You know, and that's what happens. That's what's been happening. There's been institutional racism in this country almost since its inception. And to deny the fact that this happens is just special. Let's just put it like that. It's special that you would think that. But that's not to say that it can remain like this. But that's another tactic to deflect any type of confrontation with this subject, which is the next, which is avoidance of conversations that challenge preconceived notions. Now, if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. You don't have to talk about it. But then you continue to form your opinions about something which could completely be wrong. People have been completely wrong about me based on the way that I dress. Absolutely. I mean, people look at me based on how I dress, because I don't care what I wear a lot of times. I really don't. I mean, I don't care. But people will sit there and they will pass judgment on me based on how I'm dressed and being black. So that's, but I will say that they're always shocked when they find out who I really am. And that's quite all right, too. Number 8, insisting on colorblindness as the solution to racial issues. My buddy does that a lot. I'm colorblind. I don't see color. I do have a buddy who is actually colorblind. He has problem seeing different hues, actually, medically. But my one friend, that's one of his go-tos. Man, I just don't see color, man. Well, you have to, because it's there. You have to, because if you say that you don't see color, you're basically saying that you don't see our individualism or our differences or our culture or anything dealing with that. Everything is just a broad stroke, and it's not, and it really is. And that's a quick way to get out of feeling uncomfortable about a situation. Number 9, unwillingness to accept historical injustices and their lingering effects. Now, a lot of people do this. You know, my buddy does it from time to time, but we have recently been able to sit down and, you know, because I give him things. I give my friend homework assignments. Now, sometimes he does it, and a lot of times he doesn't because he's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for him to watch. I told him to watch a documentary on Netflix called The 13th, if anybody has watched it. If you haven't watched it, I think it's still on. Go watch it. It's excellent. And it's hurtful. It will hurt your feelings. It will hurt your feelings. And I mean, it really is a tough watch, but it is worth every second because you learn so much. And while my other friend has watched it, my one friend has not. And I know 100% that's because the subject matter makes him feel uncomfortable. And we've got to stop that. We've got to get to a point in our country where we are comfortable discussing racial issues so that we can come up with solutions for the things that are happening here. Again, if you didn't get it, the name of that documentary is called The 13th, and it's on Netflix, and it's about the 13th Amendment, which was the amendment that abolished slavery. Number 10, rejection of the idea that cultural appropriation can be harmful. I'm just going to kind of go through some of these now. Number 11, perceiving discussions about race as an attack on individual character. Now that I will stop at. That happens a lot where if I say something like about, you know, something that happened, you know, like the issue. Like I'll give you a perfect example. I was sitting down talking to my buddy about what happened with George Floyd, and that was just, you were talking about George Floyd and Trayvon Martin, what happened with those guys. And nobody even mentioned race, but he immediately jumped to, you know, well, white people experienced this, you know, and I, hey, man, don't dodge that, okay? It's not a contest, okay? It's not a contest, okay? And I don't want it to be. It doesn't need to be. It's not a contest, and nobody's attacking you. Nobody's attacking the white race. Nobody's attacking. I just said how shitty it was for those people to have died like that. And it got took to a whole nother, you know, so much to the point that we argued and ended up hanging the phone up on each other. Just on some, well, you know what? The fuck you too, click. And which hurt my feelings. Because that's one of my best friends in the world. I consider this person to be my brother. You know, and I just want him, it is one of the things that is on my, to get this person to understand. Number 12, minimizing the significance of racial microaggression. That happens a lot. That happens a lot. Number 13, reacting defensively when asked to examine unconscious bias. Now, that's my buddy all over. That's my buddy when and he babbles. One of the things when I know I got him caught up against the wind, he's going to know I'm talking about him right now. If I catch him up against the wall, he'll say something like, well, I understand that. But actually, he's trying to understand it and doesn't quite grasp it. But the one thing I will give him credit for is that if you leave him alone for a minute, he will sit there and work through it. I gave him, like I was saying, there was another documentary. I have, there was something else that we were discussing. We were talking the difference between country food and soul food. And I was telling them that country food is soul food. Country food, the label was taken off of soul food and given country food. And we got into a big argument about that. Okay. Go watch this documentary. It's called High on the Hog, and that also is on Netflix. And it breaks down the history of soul food. It breaks down the history of what soul food versus country. It breaks that history down. And I had to commend him because he called me to tell me, said, hey, man, I did what I watched one of the things you said, and it kind of did kind of broaden me up a little bit. And I was like, you know what, man, first, never mind a documentary. First, thank you for doing the research. Thank you for looking at something that I suggested. I love you, man, and I just want you to understand the truth. And it's okay. It's all right for these things to have happened. You still make the best cornbread I've ever had, bro. You still do. I mean, regardless of whatever it is, whether it came from my mama's kitchen or your mama's kitchen, man, you still make the best cornbread I've ever had, and I'm going to eat it every time you make it. Because you're my man and I love you. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter what color you are. I know you can burn just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And I embrace that. And I know you know. And I know you know where it comes from now. And I know that you can embrace that because you've sat down at my mom's table and we've sat down and we've ate plenty of collard greens together. We've eaten plenty of, you know, whatever, black-eyed peas and rice together. We've eaten plenty of this stuff together, man. And we know from my table to your table, It's still the same love, bro. It's still the same love. Number 14, downplaying the impact of racial intensive remarks or actions. Now, he doesn't do that. If somebody, because I live in a town in North Florida, and in this town, my grandmother's from here, so I've been coming here my whole life since I was a child. But in this town, I'm related to half the town. And I went to high school with the other half, but they're for a couple of years. But in this town, I have been called nigga in my face in this town on more occasions than I can recall. On more occasions right here in this town, right here. I got chased. Me, a white friend of mine named Thomas, and another Latin friend of mine named Axel. We were in high school, and we got chased by three grown-ass rednecks. What do you do? Axel drove his ass off, is what we did. And I told him, drive to Railroad Street! Drive to Railroad Street! Railroad Street is where the hood is. And they rode right on by. I said, park the car. What? Park the car. And that was kind of, I guess that was kind of some black privilege that I flexed there because I told him to pull up. I mean, at the time, Railroad Street here in this town was it was one of them streets. But I rolled right up there and I got right out the car like I was right at home because I was. And I told them to get out of the car like you're at home because you are. Because you guys are home here, man. These people here, they see what's happening. And they're not going to let these three grown-ass men beat me up, beat you up, or you up, regardless of what color you are. because they understand the fundamental thing that was happening in that situation is that what those men were doing to the three of us was wrong. And all them people on that little hoodie strip, that little hoodie strip of Railroad Street, they stood right up right next to us and they put their arms around my all, and those people rode right on by. And my Latin friend and my white friend, that happens to be the same night that we were all out till 6 o'clock in the morning, and we shouldn't have been. But my friends learned right there that a lot of the things that they had been told, a lot of the things that they had perceived, weren't true at all. And those guys are still my friends. And this was back in high school. Those guys are still my friends. Number 15, discussing the experiences of marginalized groups as exaggerated. Now, my friend does do that. Ah, it's not such a big deal. Yes, the fuck it is. Yes, the fuck it is. I mean, I'm sorry. It's a big deal, man. And the reason why it's not a big deal is because you keep saying that it's not. But everywhere all around us, it is. It's one of the hugest deals in our country, the racial divide, if not the biggest, the racial divide, and then the political divide, in my opinion, which kind of, you know, that they're kind of one and the same right now. And it really shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. And it makes me so sad to see such a beautiful country with such beautiful people in it fighting about something so fucking stupid. It's just ridiculous. It's just stupid. And we shoulder up and we embrace it. And people, and I hate this too, man. People stand up and they hide behind Jesus and they hide behind the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag to get rid of everybody that don't look like me. That's fucking dumb, man. But we continue on that path because nobody wants to ask any questions. Nobody wants to have the tough conversations. Nobody wants to sit down and try and reason. Nobody wants to sit down and say, hey, listen, how can we get together on this? I've seen a few shorts or reels on Instagram of some, you know, I saw one black guy do it. I saw a couple redneck guys do it. And I saw one Spanish guy do it. And what they said, hey, y'all, imagine if the blacks, the rednecks, and the Mexicans got together. You know, what kind of shit could we fuck up together? And I just, I got goosebumps. I have goosebumps thinking about that. I mean, because really, man, what could we do together? Not to mention, as long as we're divided like we are, we look weak as fuck around the world. We just look weak. And not for nothing, while we're over here beefing, guess what happens when motherfuckers beef amongst themselves? Somebody walks right up and they punch you right in the fucking eye. While we're sitting here beefing right the fuck, somebody is going to sneak right up under us. And the reason why, and like I said in the beginning of my podcast, I suffer from anxiety. And the reason why I do suffer from anxiety is I was present for 9/11. I was living in New York at the time. I saw it live with my own eyes. I watched those people jump out of those buildings. I watched the second plane hit the building. I was fucking there. Not a lot of people can say that. And to sit there and watch that happen, just, I mean, that was, we were all, nobody expected that. But a lot of the same things were going on in the country at the time. There was a big divide. We were staying divided, and it was just what it was. And I fear that it's going to happen again if we don't begin to start unifying ourselves and solidifying ourselves as America's. Okay, America has a fucked up history. Yeah, okay, we get it. But it doesn't mean that we have to have a fucked up future. Okay? We don't have to have a fucked up future. But it has to start with all of us. It's got to be all of us. It's got to be inside everybody to say, you know what, man, God damn it. I'm so tired of people on this bullshit. I'm so tired of this. And then not only being tired of it, but then actually standing up and doing something about it. This right here, my podcast, this is one of the things that I try my hardest to do about it. I try to put this content out there for everyone to hear so that maybe something that I said might make them say, you know what, man, I will sit down with John and have this conversation, or I will ask these questions that I've been wanting to ask. Number 19, reluctance to learn about or understand different cultural perspectives. And that happens too. Now, that's not my friend, okay? Because the one thing about my friend is I've always included him and he has always included me, but he has always had a harder time understanding why. And not me. I guess it's just easier for me to see through things, but it's also easier for me to break things apart and understand that I am, although it affects me, it doesn't have to affect me in that way. It doesn't have to make me into that person. Now, have some things that white people have done make me angry? Motherfucking right. Absolutely. But I also understand that it's individualistic. There are individuals, sometimes in groups, individuals. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is the collective, that it's everybody. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that everybody feels that way. It doesn't mean that everybody hates black people or everybody hates white people. It doesn't mean that. And that's the one thing we have to start to understand. All right, the last one, number 20. Avoiding discomfort by steering clear of challenging conversations about race. And that is my buddy 100%. That's my buddy 100%. And I don't want him to feel uncomfortable. That's the one thing I do not want out of this at all. I don't want one of the closest people in the world to me, regardless of what race they are, I don't want them to feel uncomfortable about talking about race. Because they shouldn't be. No one should be. Yes, there are some tough things to say. There are some tough things to hear. But if we come from a place of curiosity as opposed from a place of hate, then we can make actual progress. We can make actual strides in bridging the gap between our cultures. Okay? In conclusion, white fragility hurts America because we are unable to have real and meaningful conversations about race. It prevents us from learning more about each other and our perspective in our respective ethnic groups. And I think that right there is the key to really making America a great place. You know what I mean? So I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Darren Harris Podcast. First, I want to thank everybody again for staying with me for 100 episodes, y'all. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I want to thank my parents, like I do every week, for giving me life and breath in my lungs to speak the words that I speak. I want to thank my wife for being just the absolute, the most motivating person in my life. My wife is absolutely amazing. I'll have her on the show one day so you guys get to, meet her and talk to her. But my wife is amazing. You know, she's Latin, but she is the biggest advocate for unity that I know. I want to thank my best friend and producer, Jesse Yandel, for bashing that motherfucker in the face for me 15 years ago. I just want to say I love you, man, and I appreciate you for encouraging me to do my podcast and putting me up to this, and also for never being afraid to conversate with me about the content that I share. We always, as a matter of fact, folks, my friend and I, we always joke because, like I said, he's 6 feet tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, but he's the only 6 foot tall, blonde hair, blue eye, black content creator that I know. That is funny to me. So thanks, man. I love you to death. And I really want to thank today. I want to thank Gentry Thomas. Gentry Thomas is the founder of the Podcast Playground, which is the platform that hosts my podcast. today is my 100th episode of the Darren Harris Podcast, and I want to say thank you to Gentry Thomas for giving me the opportunity to say, I know I thank you every week, but really, man, I really want you to feel this one, bro. I appreciate you, man. I love you to death. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And thank you so much for enabling me to have a platform to touch people. So, and lastly, also first, but and lastly, I want to thank everybody who has listened to my podcast. And I want to thank the people who have stuck with me throughout the couple of years that I've been on. And hopefully I've given you better content, and I will continue to give you better content. I will try as hard as I can to give you the best content I absolutely can. Every time I come on, sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I don't. But I'm always going to try and put my best foot forward to try and give you guys good educational content, you know, something to talk about, something to motivate you. I'm going to do my best to do that for you. And again, I thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the people who listen and don't listen anymore. Thank you to the people who've never listened but will listen in the future. Now, I want to say thank you to everyone. So with that being said, I think that's going to do it for me. You guys have a wonderful week, and I will see you next week. This is Darren Harris, and this has been the Darren Harris Podcast. Peace.
You've been listening to the Darren Harris Podcast. Subscribe to the show, give a good rating, and everything you need to know is at DarrenHarris.com.